brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, I'd like to say that I'm very happy to be able to be here. I appreciate this opportunity to stand before you and defend the Lord's will. I'm glad to have this opportunity here at the congregation in Francis. I appreciate you, brethren, for supplying this opportunity. I'm glad that the moderators here, these moderators here, appreciate very much this opportunity to defend the Lord's will. But you know, there's an idea which I'd like to present before I actually get into this in any detail. I have many friends and neighbors here in this crowd, not only from the congregation in Aden, Seminole, and other areas, but also right here from the congregation in Francis. Many of you people are friends and neighbors of mine, and for that much more reason, I appreciate this opportunity. I'd also like to say that I'm here for the purpose and as a result of a love for souls. That's why I'm here. A love for everybody's soul, whether modern soul, every one of these individuals from Francis or wherever you may be. I have a genuine concern about your soul. That's why we have such meetings as these. And may I say to begin with that there are souls in jeopardy as a result of the teaching that you've heard so far this evening. Individuals are to be misled because they follow a doctrine or an idea which has no Bible basis whatsoever, an idea which cannot be founded in the Lord's will at all. I might say also that you recognize my purpose tonight, and the negative is to, as best as I possibly can, point out the errors in the scripture or the logic or the reasoning that Brother Bonner has made. It is my purpose to indicate if my opponent has evaded the issues. It is also my purpose to expose any subterfuge or camouflage, any evading of the point or the purpose for our study here tonight. And as the moderator mentioned, we intend to press our point. Because after all, it is necessary in such an arena as this that you and I recognize what is right and what is truth according to the Lord's will. That is our purpose, and that's what we set out and intend to do. As you've noticed, and this is something which I expected, really, Brother Bonner took the major part of his speech and tried to convince you that the Bible, when it says cup, doesn't mean cup. That was the major part of his speech. And yet I find out that he has affirmed, get 1A ready, Don, he has affirmed a proposition which involves certainly more than whether or not the cup is literal or whether or not the cup is figurative. It is a proposition that he affirms, and as we have over here on the board, I'm going to insist throughout the course of this debate that he meet the grounds of this proposition. Here's what his proposition actually amounts to. He says, or the proposition says, the scriptures teach, and I would emphasize that over and over again because that's what's important. That's what makes the difference in right and wrong, whether or not the scriptures teach it. But let me hear what he says the scriptures teach. That the local church assembled for the Lord's Supper may partake of the cup, in parentheses, fruit of the vine, from a plurality of drinking vessels. Brother Bonner has affirmed that proposition. And I'm going to insist that he prove that proposition with scriptures. He says the scriptures affirm. And that's what we're going to make him do. He's going to have the scriptures, or else he's not going to be able to affirm his proposition. I stand tonight in denial of this proposition. I'm going to show him that this proposition is wrong, that there's no Bible basis for it whatsoever. But here's Brother Bonner's obligation, and I don't know whether he can see this or not, but I'm going to remind him of it from time to time. I'd like for him to understand what his proposition is. I want him to produce book, chapter, and verse for the command that teaches us a plurality of drinking vessels. That's what he has affirmed up here, a plurality of drinking vessels. I want him to give me the example for a plurality of drinking vessels. He's affirmed that he has Bible on this, and that's exactly what we need to find out. And the scriptures teach a plurality by one of these three ways, as far as Brother Bonner is concerned, if he has scripture for it. I find, again, we want the necessary inference, if it's found in the Lord's will, for a plurality of drinking vessels. Now, I don't have to have them all, Brother Bonner. I'll take any one of those. If you'll give me a command, an example, or a necessary inference where it teaches me that the local church may assemble for the communion and observe the communion with a plurality of drinking vessels. I'll take a commandment, I'll take an example, or I'll take a necessary inference. Any one of those will be just fine, but I want you to give me that. And I'm going to remind you of that until you do or until you give up on it. I found the much part of his speech, or a lot of his speech, was sort of a disappointment as far as I'm concerned, because I really didn't think we were going to have to get into this kind of stuff. Let me see chart number 4 that he pulled out there a while ago. Now, you know, we heard about everything. We learned about sprinkling and such for baptism. We heard about enchiladas. We heard about all sorts of things. We saw stuff like this right here, and this is what's disappointing. Now, we have to deal with something, not that one, the one with man sticking a cup in his mouth. We have to deal with things that are foolishness. That's all that they are. This is a subterfuge. This is clouding the issue. There's not a person in this audience that will go along with anything like that. But here's what bothers me. Jesus said, for as oft as you drink this cup.
Well, what's he talking about?
Yes.
Is that what Jesus is talking about, Brother Bob?
As oft as you drink this cup?
Lord knows that.
No, folks, that seems to border, as far as I'm concerned, on something sacrilege. I mean, I wouldn't stand up here and say, you know, the Lord said drink the cup, but nobody knows how to do it. We don't drink the cup like that. The Lord said drink it, but Brother Bonner's got some man cramming down his throat. And that kind of stuff's unnecessary. That is something which lends nothing to the study whatsoever, because this is not what the Lord said he was doing. He said drink the cup.
You know, he didn't do it like that, no, Brother Bonner.
He didn't drink a cup like that, and we all understand that. That is something dumb. That seems to be a difficult thing for debaters to get around. They want to present stuff like this to evade the issue. That's all it amounts to. Now then, let's begin. Billy, I don't have to have a chart turner. Wait a minute. Not right now. That's the only one I'm going to start with that one. We'd like to notice this chart. And I'd like to show you that this chart is not only totally wrong, it is misleading. This chart's not only something which is wrong as far as what it teaches, it is deceptive. And I'm going to show you that it's deceptive. This is a chart which he says what cup can mean. I'm glad he put it that way. That's the only thing to say. He says it can mean that. It is something, though, when he begins to take a definition out of Thayer's, and that's his authority, now you remember, and it says, Thayer says, cup poterion is found 33 times in the New Testament. Thayer defines it as a cup, a drinking vessel of the thing on which the cup is filled, by metonymy, of the container of the contained. All right? Now that's Thayer's definition, and I'll agree with that. And then he goes to listing them, where they all mean this. He says it can mean suffering. It can mean the lives of the people. It can mean water. It can even mean a drinking vessel. Does mean drinking vessel. One place out of 33, he says. Got that right out of Thayer's, he says. Says it means a drinking vessel. And he says, can mean the wrath of God. Can mean meat sacrificed to idols. Can mean lewdness. But he says, what it means is, fruit of the vine. Now, friends, I didn't know what to think about that when I first saw it, because, you know, I thought, well, he did this out of ignorance. But that's not the case, because he had the opportunity to know. He had the opportunity, number 1, 2, and 3 written. He had the opportunity to know what this was all about. Here's the reason I know that he did. Where he got the definition for number 4 here, Mark 7, verse 4 through verse 8. He could have got the same definition for every one of these words over here. He leads you to believe that this idea that Thayer defined this idea of cup as the fruit of the vine. That is not the truth. It is not found in Thayer's book. You cannot find it there. Here he takes this opportunity to deceive us or to mislead us with the idea that Thayer defines it as the fruit of the vine. Brother Bonner, that's not true. That just is not true, number one, Don. And y'all get your papers out now, we're going to recheck on it. We find out we can understand what this is all about if we just begin to look what these thought scholars do say. And I've got Mr. Thayer up here. Now, that's Brother Bonner's authority. And we're going to notice him right along with all the rest of them. I'm going to go through these verses now and show you what he said that it can mean. Let's begin. Matthew 26, verse 27. He took the cup and gave thanks, and gave them, saying, drink ye all of it. Mark 14, verse 23. He took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave them, they all drank of it. The Revised Standard Version says, a cup. Now then, let's see, who agrees with that? Well, Mr. Robinson on page 611, he says, cup, a drinking vessel, a cup. Strong says, on page 59, or 69, a drinking vessel. There, now let's see. Yeah, Thayer, page 533. That's where he got his, you remember. Thayer, page 533, says, a cup, a drinking vessel. He says on page 189, the thing out of which one drinks. He says on page 810, the vessel out of which one drinks. And how about that, Brother Bonner? Now, Brother Bonner, I got a question mark there because I don't really know if he's ever written a lexicon or not. Brother Bonner, though, says, always for the vine. Always for the vine. It's always for the vine.
happened to do that? Why'd you do that, Brother Bonner? It's misleading. It's deceptive. Why'd you do that?
You want us to think. That Thayer's definition said, right, number two, Don.
Let's look again. Here's some more of them. What cup means, 1 Corinthians 11:28. Well, let a man examine himself. Sorry to eat that bread and drink of that cup. What is that? Robinson says, page 611, a cup of wine. Strong says, page 59, a drinking vessel. There, page 189 says, a thing out of which one drinks. There, page 510, the vessel out of which one drinks. Vine.
Through the vine. Through the vine.
Always, every time, through the vine.
Let's go again. No, let's get this.
Luke 22:17. He says, he took the cup, and he gave it, and he gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Robinson, page 611, a drinking vessel. Cup, strong, page 59. A drinking vessel. There, page 530. What?
Page 533. Now, where do you put that? Luke 22:17. Look at that, folks.
He says, for the time. How did he do that? Why did he do that? The Bible says, and the scholars agree, Robinson, a drinking vessel, strong, a drinking vessel, there, cup. Bonner says,
always means through the vine.
How did he do that?
Brother Bonner, didn't you know I checked that? And you know, I looked those verses up. I've got the Thayer's too.
I looked those verses up, and there they were. Number three, Dom. Here's the rest of them.
What cup means? Luke 22:20.
Likewise also the cup after supper say, this cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood.
What do you know about that?
Well, Robinson says, page 611, a drinking vessel, a cup. Strong says, page 59, a drinking vessel. There says page
533.
What does he say? A cup, a drinking vessel. There, page 15, a cup containing wine. There, page 533 again, by metonymy
of the container for the container.
Robinson, page 611, metonymy, a cup for the contents of the cup, a cup of wine.
Bonner says, always through the vine.
Step aside, Mr. Thayer. Dr. Robinson, Mr. Strong,
we got a new worldwide scholar. Always through the vine. Why do you do that? And you see, folks, he knew the difference because he got the definition for the first one.
Now, he'll say a dictionary always defines something as proper.
That's what Thayer says, or literal. But we already pointed out, he also tells you when it's metonymical. See, they point out the difference in these words.
And he could have known the difference. He had the same opportunity I had to know the difference.
He knows the difference. That's the sad part about it. He knows the difference. Let's go a little further with this. Number four, Don. I want to show you what his chart proves.
Brother Bonner's chart, what cup can mean, proves he has a total disregard for the scholarship of the world, and he is willing to mislead you, the audience. What it proves. Now, if it doesn't prove that,
I'm going to give him a chance to redeem himself. Here's your chance now.
Find one lexicon that will render, and I'm just going to give you two verses because you never could hunt them all up. We'll just work on two verses. Produce one lexicon that will define he took the cup, Matthew 26:27 or Mark 14, verse 23, as the fruit of the vine. I want one lexicon that will render those verses, he took the cup, as the fruit of the vine.
Now, Brother Bonner, I hope that you have it. Because if you don't have it, you will look awful bad. And I hope you got it. I hope he's got a lexicon somewhere that will render it like he put it. Number five, Don.
Well, the Bonner's entire case is built on a false major premise. His entire case is built on a false major premise. That premise is the cup is always the fruit of the vine. That is a false major premise that he has not proven. And furthermore, he cannot prove it. I find as long as he uses this false major premise, all of his conclusions are going to be false. And I copied something out of one of Brother Bonner's little papers right here. I've been reading Truth and Love, Brother Bonner. And there's a little article in here that I really do like. And I've written it up there. It says this. This is out of the Truth and Love, February 21st, 1985. The emphasis here by Brother Bonner. Anytime an honest man in error comes in contact with truth, he has to give up something. To retain his honesty, he must give up his error. To keep his error, he must give up his honesty. I believe that's the truth. And you know, I believe it's what the Bonner said, that he is concerned about truth, or he wouldn't involve himself in such things as this. Well, if you can see the error in your way, you need to give it up. And I entertain the idea that perhaps Brother Bonner could change, make a change, and decide that he wanted to embrace the truth. An honest man, when he meets his error, will give it up. Now then, we want to talk about a couple of these other things that he mentioned. He jumped right into metonymy, and that's, chart number 15, Don, I believe he is. I need his, my chart's number 18. I need number 15, Billy, please. Suggested by. Example, the White House decided for the president. Then he lists these comparisons here, these metonymies. Now, I would like to go into this idea of metonymy. You know, it's interesting. We can make things difficult that aren't difficult. A metonymy, and I'm going to use Brother Bonner's definition because I'm sure that he agrees with that one, and I'm going to explain to you what metonymy is in case you don't know. I'm sure that there are many individuals in this audience that are better acquainted with this than I am, but here's what metonymy is. The Lord said, drink this cup. Metonymy, as Brother Bonner's defined over here, and I'm using his definition, is the use of one of the name of one thing for that of another, associated with or suggested by. Webster's on a British dictionary. That's his definition right here, verse 1. All right, now let's look at these. Cup, drink this cup. That's one thing. Now look how easy this is. That's one thing. Or that of another, the fruit of the vine. Isn't that easy? He uses cup to name or to suggest the fruit of the vine. Now the cup suggests fruit of the vine. But cup is not fruit of the vine. It just suggests it. Now look, the thing named cup and the other thing suggested fruit of the vine both exist.
Now he tries to do away with the container altogether.
You can't do that, you see. When you got one thing and you got another thing, that's two. One thing and another thing. One thing suggests another.
But they're both there. They both exist.
And see, metonymy's not hard. When Jesus said, the cup, he suggested fruit of the vine. But the cup's not fruit of the vine.
But Tommy, that's not hard for us to understand. It is something which is sometimes used to, as we say, cloud the issues or to make this look difficult. That's not difficult or hard to understand. Let me take this just a step further. Let me have chart 54, Don.
Metonymy, 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as oft as you drink this cup,
here's another that goes right with it.
The kettle is boiling. Metonymy, the container for the contents. The contents are suggested by naming the container. The object named is not the thing suggested.
Was it be the same thing I'm saying? That's what he says it is.
He just got one element here, as he says. That can't be. To have autonomy, you've got to have one thing suggesting another. That means two things. Got to have two things, you see. Not just one element. Two things.
All right. Look on. He says, "Are the cup suggests fruit of the vine. But the cup is not the fruit of the vine.
Kettle suggests water. Kettle is not the water. In metonymy of the container, the contents, when a liquid contents is suggested, the container name must be present. You cannot have a liquid contents without a container."
He was wondering how I was going to answer that question, so I'm going to not punish him ahead of his time and just let him have it right now.
When you're talking about the container, the contents, the liquid contents,
the container has to be there. Look on down.
To drink this cup, a cup must be there. For the kettle to boil, a kettle must be there. That's not hard. People make things like this hard. They talk about metonymical language, metaphors, and such as that. They're not hard. And you know, when you use something as a metaphor or something as a figure of speech, it doesn't change the nature of what's used for the figure.
If the cup was literal when Jesus took it, contained literal grape juice. It's literal after he took it, contained literal grape juice. It was literal when he gave it to them, the cup and the grape juice. You know, I might demonstrate this. Here's chart number 16, Billy. It's up here. This is a continuation of this idea. The point, though, that I want to make out of this idea is the fact that when you use a figure of speech, that the items, the one suggested and the one that makes the suggestion, both are there. Let me illustrate it. Call it. I want to illustrate it with this little bottle right here. Brother Bonner, is this a bottle of cup? That's fruit of the vine, isn't it? The cup is always fruit of the vine.
It's not a bottle of cup. Is this a bottle of bottle? Not a bottle of bottle, is it? What is this? This is a bottle of grape juice. Now, what do I have to have if I drink this bottle?
Brother Bonner?
If I drink this bottle, what do I have to have?
A bottle of grape juice.
That's easy, isn't it? Well, let's look at it from a scriptural standpoint. Jesus took the cup. What did he take? Cup of cup?
No.
What did he take? He took a cup of grape juice. What do I have to do if I drink the cup?
Drink the grape juice. Now, see how easy all that is?
That's really easy. That's not difficult at all. If a person doesn't try to clout the issue and make this be something, which it isn't, the idea is these things are plain and easy to be understood. I want to talk about questions more quick. Give my questions, Don. These questions are interesting.
I won't read them exactly. I won't
read anything else. Jesus used one cup in Francis' drinking vessel to institute the Lord's Supper. He said, "The Bible does not say so. I don't know."
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know Jesus used one cup.
Now, stay up with this.
I asked him then, I said, would a congregation of Christians be condemned for using one cup drinking vessel prescribed at the fruit of the vine and the Lord's Supper?
He said, no, if they do not teach false doctrine on it.
So he says, no, you can use one cup. And then I asked him, I said, must we observe the Lord's Supper as Jesus instituted? This is good. He said, yes. I said, no. He didn't know why Jesus instituted it. He said that, I don't know, he said, the Bible doesn't teach it, but you got to do it like he told you. Now what's that? He doesn't know how they did it, but you got to do it like he did it.
How'd he do it, Brother Bond? You don't know.
He took the cup.
What he did?
Well, what's that cup? A container containing grape juice.
That's how he did it, Brother Bond. You know that's how he did it. He took the cup.
I said, would a congregation of Christians be condemned for using one cup or drinking vessel?
No. Now, I appreciate that anyway. What he tells me there is, my practice is not under question. My practice is not even under consideration. It's scriptural. It's all right. It's scriptural for me to do it the way that I do it. Says that's okay. Now, folks, when we talk about unity mediums, we have grounds for unity. We can all be together. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to put an undivided front to the world? But you know what we're going to have to do to have unity? We're going to have to go back to thus saith the Lord.
We're going to have to go back and unite on these common principles Jesus laid down almost 2,000 years ago. He says, my practice is all right.
Can't we unite on that? We don't have to have individual cups or variety of cups. Oh, we just use one, like the Bible says, and all be together. Have harmony, unity of the Lord's will. We can do that, you see, by using one. Really interests me is the fact that the real reason, how much time, Carl? The real reason that the cups ever came into practice, the individual containers, was for sanitation purposes. You know, that's a real problem.
You know, nobody ever thought of calling the cup the fruit of the vine until everybody got some nasty nice. They thought they was going to catch something from drinking out of one cup. You know that. Brother Bonner's afraid of him, see. He told Brother Paul Nichols that if he was to use one cup, he'd have to be up on the front row. And he want a big cup with his place marked on the rim because of some of his brethren he wouldn't want to drink after.
I don't know who he's talking about. That's the problem.
Why don't you ever talk about the problem? He's scared he's going to catch something. That's the real problem. He wants a big cup with his place marked on the rim. But he don't want to drink after some of you brothers.
That's the real reason. That's what they used to think.
Nobody ever thought about the cup being a fruit of the vine.
Until they got scared up on the germs. That's when it started. Number one, 1A.
We'll have 5 to 7 minutes intermission here. I want to remind everyone that the debate is between Joe Nozell and David Bonner. It is imperative that we remain as quiet as possible and not be answering either one of the individuals.